for us where we started this morning. We'll start there again tonight and preach the end of the message that began this morning. You said, I missed that this morning. Well, go to YouTube and catch the introduction, all right? But we'll try to do that. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil, and so the devil came along and spoke to him and said, you do this. And the Lord answered him in verse 4 of Matthew 4 and said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Folks, listen, the word of God will do things for you that nothing else will do. And that's why we encourage people to read the Bible. That's why we come and tell you, if you come to church here, if you get here in time for Sunday school, we'll teach you a Bible lesson. If you're here for any preaching service, we're going to preach you a Bible message. We're going to preach you the Word of God. You said, why? Because only the Bible will do for us what it will do, okay? I read this morning out of 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, where the Bible said, it effectually worketh in you that believe. If you'll believe it, you'll receive it, and you'll heed it, it'll do something for you, okay? And so just trying to look at a few of those things, talked to you this morning, said it'll reveal God to you. If you want to know what God is, who God is, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Don't trust the theologians. Don't trust the scholars. Just read your Bible. You say, what else will it do? Well, it'll keep you from sin. Keep you from sin. You get enough of the Word of God in, it'll help you not to get involved in sin, all right? And then if you do sin, and we do, it'll help you clean it up, all right? Help clean up your life. Then I want you to go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, all right? 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, we wound up this morning in 1 Peter, but I want you to go, or maybe in 2 Peter, I guess, where we wound up. But 1 Peter chapter 2, notice what the Bible says about the Word of God itself. It says in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Hey, look, it is the Word of God that will help you to grow. It'll help you to grow. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Every baby longs for milk, okay? Every baby does. Every baby comes looking for it. Every baby cries for it, all right? He wants that. He wants to get it. He wants that nourishment. He needs that nourishment. As a child of God, you need that nourishment, okay? You need the Word of God to help you grow. When I was a kid, I was weaned at a young age. And I don't like milk. Unless you make it cold enough and put some other stuff in there and call it ice cream. Or a milkshake. Then I can go that, all right? But just drinking milk, you know, people said, well, I'm going to drink a glass of milk. Not me. Boy, it's not going to happen. It's just not. You say, well, then you're missing the milk of the Word. Well, you can also get the meat, all right? And you ought not to just stick with the milk, okay? It's a good thing to get what you need from the milk, but it's a good thing to step up and get the meat of the Word. The milk of the Word makes growth possible, but the meat of the Word puts some muscle into that growth, all right? And we need to have it. That's why we encourage you, stay with it. Look, you need to grow as a Christian. You need to grow as a Christian. And if you grow as a Christian, you're no longer just taking in the milk. You're looking for some meat. You want something, for any lack of a better way to say it, you want something you can sink your teeth into, all right? You like something that teaches the Word of God, that challenges you a little bit, and kind of comes out there and shakes you up and says, hey, you need to get with it. Not just keeping the milk, all right? Move on, all right, past that, because we need it. I think we live in a day where so many Christians today are spiritual babies, but they've been saved for a multitude of years. But they've just never grown. Just never grown. I mean, they're that. You say, why didn't they grow? Because they seldom get any of God's Word in them. You don't get it, all right? The crowd, look, I love the crowd that comes just on Sunday morning. But I'll tell you that, they're not as strong as the crowd that comes Sunday morning, Sunday night. They're not as strong. They're not as strong as the crowd comes Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You're just not going to have that strength. Why? Because you didn't get fed enough of the Word of God, all right? They never really take the time and tune into the preaching and the teaching. And they never read it for themselves. And you got to do that if you're going to grow, all right? You've got to grow. Some of us would be in real trouble if we waited on somebody to feed us. We'd be in real trouble, right? Now, when you were a little baby, mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa, your brother, your sister, you know, whoever had the job may have fed you at one point. And I remember teaching the kids to eat, and you put stuff on the spoon, you stick it in their mouth, wipe it off their lips, stick it back in their mouth, wipe it off the lips, step it in the third time. By that time, they've got the whole spoonful down, all right? But it was a process, and somebody had to be there, and somebody had to feed them. Well, look, there's time when you grow a little bit, you're not sitting in the high chair waiting there for somebody to point the spoon at your mouth, all right? You need to get involved in it and eat it yourself. Well, so many people don't do that. Now, a lot of people, they come to the house of God, but they don't tune into the message. They don't tune into the message. They're not fed because they're not there. It's amazing to me. I've had people come over the years, over the many years, their preacher, and I've heard them say it when my dad was alive, preacher, we're just leaving the church. We're just not getting fed. But at the same time, you got somebody else said, boy, preacher, love it here, man. I'm fed on the Word of God daily. Well, sometimes, you know, you can be invited to the table, but you got to pick up the knife and fork, all right? You've got to decide, I'm going to partake of what's offered. I'm going to enjoy what's there. And a lot of times I think people come to church, they don't get the message, they don't hear, and what they hear is not what's preached. I've told you about experiences I've had going into a home one week, and after Sunday, maybe Thursday or Tuesday or Friday, whenever, I'll be sitting there talking with them, and they'll say, preacher, just like you said last Sunday. And they'll give me something. I'm scratching my head going, I don't remember saying anything like that. I don't know who they got that from, all right? Hey, you come into the house of God, you tune in. You take in the preaching and the teaching. You listen on purpose, all right? You listen on purpose. You know, you can't make somebody eat. You can't make somebody eat. I mean, it's a hard thing to do, but you can provide it. Sunday school teachers come Sunday morning, and they get in front of their class and they teach a Bible lesson, but it doesn't mean the child that's sitting there gets it. You say, it's teacher's fault. Wait a minute. Whoa. Teacher's doing their job. Child's not paying attention. Child's not getting it in. I've been in church before. I've been sitting in the pew. The preacher's preaching the Word of God. And I found out, I thought, wait a minute. I don't have any idea what he's saying. Now, it wasn't the preacher's fault. That was my fault. I'd let my attention wander off and wander away from the message. Hey, but the Bible, it'll help you. It'll help you to grow, all right? You cannot grow as a child of God without the nourishment that's found in this book. Go into Acts chapter 20, all right? Acts chapter 20. What will the Word of God do for you? Well, it'll help you to grow. Not only that, Acts chapter 20, verse 32. I want you to notice here what the Scripture says. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Notice the Bible said, to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. The Word of God will build you up. Now, I just want to warn you, if you hadn't figured it out, there's a lot of influences out there in the world that have one desire, and that is to tear you down and seek to destroy you. There is a lot of that out there. The devil's good at that. He aims for it. He would like to destroy your life. He would like to tear down your home. Every way he can, he's going to do it. Hey, it's good to know there's something that's able to build you up, all right? And that something is the Word of God. That something is the Word of God. It'll build you up. Look, 1 Peter chapter 2, back there, all right? You said, why didn't you tell us to hold the place? Because it's good exercise, all right? Learn your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, again. But I want you this time to look in verse 5, all right? Verse 5. The Bible says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Built up a spiritual house. Hey, can I say this to you? That's the goal. That's what we're trying to do. It's a spiritual house that we're trying to work on. Spiritual house that we're trying to build, all right? Now, the Bible will help to build you up spiritually. It speaks to that inner man. The Word of God is not going to make you stronger physically just from the teaching and preaching, all right? It's just not going to do it. Now, sometimes if you take and put it to work, then it'll put some physical help to you. But it's going to build you up spiritually. If you'll tune in, all right, it'll give you spiritual strength for the battles that you're going to face and that are going to come your way in this old wicked world. You're going to fight some battles, okay? What you need for them is spiritual strength. Spiritual strength. They're going to come. They're going to take place. You're going to be attacked. Satan's going to come at you, all right? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7 talks about that same truth. It talks about being rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. That's what we're talking about, spiritual strength. Strengthen in your faith, all right? So you can take the storms that come along. You can handle them. Look, every one of us here, if you've been saved very long and you've served God very long, you've been in church, you know somebody somewhere that the storm came and it knocked them out. It took them out. They're out of the will of God. They're away from the Lord. They may be very bitter. All right? They're no longer serving God the way they used to. You said, preacher, what happened to them? They were caught when they were spiritually weak. Spiritually weak. We need the spiritual strength. We need to be built up spiritually. Hey, the Word of God does that. The Word of God does that. I remember hearing people talk about going to the doctor getting a B12 shot. Anybody remember hearing people talk like that? Yeah, going and getting a B12 shot. And they would go from time to time. Well, whatever. Well, they needed something. They needed something to build them up, all right? They needed that B12 shot, okay? People take vitamins. Why? Want to be built up. Want to be built up. That's what we want. Hey, we come to church Sunday morning, Sunday school. Why? We need a shot from Sunday school in the Word of God. Come to the preaching service. Why? We need a shot from the Word of God, all right? Something that'll help us, something that'll build us up, help our faith, increase our faith. We come on Sunday night. Why? Because we don't have anything else to do. No, we come back because we want that other shot. Build us up. Help us, all right? Build us up and spiritually that we can be strong. We come back on Wednesday because we need that shot in the middle of the week. Why? Keep you built up spiritually. Hey, the Word of God will do that. Can I say this to you? I believe it'll also build you up mentally and emotionally. I believe we live in a day where a ton of people don't know how to think. Just don't know how to think. Minds are kind of scrambled. I'm thinking right now of a young man that I remember years ago went to youth camp with us. When my son was a teenager, and this boy came to camp with us. And boy, he was eating up the Word of God. He really was. When we got back home and we weren't able to keep him in church faithfully, got in the wrong crowd, got to running with the wrong group, got to taking dope, and it's got his mind scrambled. It's hard to talk to him now and have an intelligent conversation. Why? Well, he doesn't know how to think. Can't think anymore. Just can't think. All right? Look, the Word of God will help you. It will help you learn to think. Hey, a lot of people, that you can tell because they don't even know what's important. They don't even know what's important. They've got their mind everything else is focused somewhere else instead of what's important. Hey, can I say this to you? Your life, your family, you're following the Lord, you're serving God, those are the things that are important. Those are the things that are important. I'll be real honest with you. It's not important that your daughter learns how to pirouette and stand on her toes, okay? That's really not important. Okay, that's not it. It's not important that your son become a great, outstanding baseball player. That's not important. But man, it is important that they learn what's in the Word of God. It is important that they learn what God wants of them. That's important. But man, I see people so focused on everything else. Well, you know, I'm just trying to get satisfaction out of my life. Wait a minute, did you ever think about serving God? Did you ever think what you're doing for Him? Did you ever think about there's fulfillment there? But people don't know how to think. Look, this book helps to get you in tune with God. Helps you to get your thinker lined up right, all right? Helps you to get it lined up right. It tells you how to love right. We talk about emotions. It'll tell you how to love right, how to love the Lord, how to love others correctly, all right? The precepts that you find in the Word of God give us stability for living. They'll help you. They'll keep your emotions on an even keel, all right? Boy, one of the most difficult things to live with is somebody who's on an emotional roller coaster. An emotional roller coaster. There's some, hate to say this, but there's some preachers that learn to use the emotions of people, and they would sway their emotions and get them to do something, but it was all built on emotions. It wasn't any strength in the Word of God. Hey, we need the right thing emotionally, but our emotions can be helped in the Word of God. In the Word of God. It'll help you get in the book, all right? It'll help you. You can build yourself up spiritually. You can build yourself up mentally. You can be tough mentally. Why? Because what's in the book, all right? What's in the book? You can do it. Tell you something else the Word of God will do. Go to Psalm 119 again. We were there a couple of times this morning. Psalms 119's got a lot of truth in it. And over, it is a chapter and a psalm about the Word of God. And everything in it's talking about His statutes and His commandments. And so Psalm 119, look if you will, in verse 105, all right? The Bible said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we've heard that verse over and over, but don't you go on to verse 130. Notice what it says, The entrance of Thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you this. The Word of God will show you which way you need to go. Amen. The Word of God will show you which way you need to go. You ever been in driving down the road and you get in a place and it's confusing and you got signs and you're trying to look at all the signs? Your GPS says, take a choice, do whatever you want to, you know. But you're not sure what to do. And sure enough, you turn and immediately after you turn, you say, I should be right over there. I'm on the wrong road. Aggravating thing to be that. Especially, I remember one time we were on a trip. That's when my brother and I, neither one of us were married. I don't think I was even old enough to drive. We were on a trip with Mom and Dad, and we're zipping along down this freeway, and it's got a concrete barrier in the middle with a little bit of fence on top of that. And we missed our exit. And the next exit is like 19 miles down the road. And you come up to this space, and it's got a space in the median, and it's got a sign right there with it that says, No U-turn. Been there? We were there. So what'd you do? We didn't drive 19 miles out of the way, I'll tell you that. We didn't do it, all right? Why? Well, we didn't know which way to go. We didn't know which way to go. We missed the exit, all right? Hey, this year in life, or hey, just like every other year, there's going to be some crossroads you're going to come to. You're going to have to make a decision. And you know, decision's going to need to be made is what you're going to do. What will I do? I just want to tell you something. This old book right here will help guide you. This book right here will help guide you. Open it up. Read it. Pay attention to what it is. And I say this, all major decisions, and 99% of the minor ones ought to be run through the filter of the Scripture. Nor do we ought to run through that. Well, I'm thinking about buying a new house. All right, you need to take it up with God and you need to stay in the book. You need to take it up with God. That's a major decision. I'm thinking about a career change. You better take it up with God. You better get in the Bible. Get direction. Get direction. Well, what's it going to tell me? I mean, how's it going to tell me to choose between a plumber and an electrician? I'm just telling you, get in the Bible, it'll help you. It'll give you light. If you'll stay in that book, all right, it'll sure keep you from a lot of problems that so many people go through because they made the wrong decision. Wrong decision. Just giving you wisdom, all right? Just wisdom. It is absolutely amazing how much wisdom there is in the Word of God. It is available if we'll just take advantage of what God's provided, listen to what He says, read what He says, and apply it to our life and our situation. He said, doesn't apply. Boy, it applies more than we realize. Thy Word, lamp unto your feet and light unto your path, all right? It is that light. It will give you light. Give you light. You need decisions. They're going to be made. You're going to have to make them. Stay in the book. Stay in the book. I mean, just stay with it. If you're thinking about buying a car, okay, you're not sure. Well, you remember in Acts it says they were all in one accord. Could be that's what you need to get. I don't know. Oh, I was kidding there, but I believe this. I really do. I believe we'd stay in the Bible and think and read and pray. The entrance of that, it'll give you light. It'll help you buy a new car or buy a used car, whichever. It'll help you. We need that. Why? Need it. Show us the way to go. Show us the way to go. Take your Bible to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You say, what's the Word of God do for you? Well, I've tried to tell you several things, and at least six. Now we come to number seven. Romans chapter 10, I believe with all my heart the Word of God will give you faith, all right? The Word of God will help you to have the faith that you need to have. Romans chapter 10, if you will. Romans chapter 10, notice what verse 7 says. Romans chapter 10, that's a wrong verse. I'm so aggravated. Verse 17, not verse 7. Verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the newspaper. No, not that. Hearing by the word of Oprah. No, it's not that either. Okay? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God. There's nothing like the word of God to give you faith. Now, I'll say this. No lost man's going to worry about how much faith he has. But it ought to concern every child of God. Every child of God, every believer ought to be concerned about the amount of faith we have. Remember the disciples over in Luke chapter 17, verse 5. They didn't say, Lord, increase our income. They didn't say, Lord, increase our retirement. They didn't say, Lord, increase our days off. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Our faith. Hey, that's what we need. We need an increase in faith. Just trust in Him, all right? Now, if you're saved, you're saved because of faith. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. So you're not saved apart from faith. Faith in God. Faith in God. You trust Him, you believe what He says, you trust His Word, you call upon Him, and you do what He tells you to do, He'll do what He says He'll do, and we're saved by faith, all right? We're saved by faith. You said, preacher, how do you know you're going to heaven? Because the Bible says I am. Bible says I am. If I don't go to heaven, God's a liar. His word's a liar. I don't believe that. Don't believe He is. So that's how I know. It's by faith, okay? You said, how do you do it? Well, I wish I had that kind of faith. Get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. Get there, all right? A life that pleases God demands faith. Hebrews 11 said, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You say, man, I just feel like I'm struggling in my Christian life. Now, you know, having a hard time. Well, how's your faith coming along? You know, if you were to fill in that thermometer that measures your faith, would it be up here or right here? You know, how far up would that red line climb, all right? Hey, you said I need more faith, then you get it from the Word of God. You get it from the Word of God. You know, you just keep reading the Bible and seeing what God's done. It's amazing how it works in you. works in you. Now, I'd be preaching this message to a bunch of unbelievers, and they're sitting there going, that's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. I just can't believe that kind of thing. But I got people sitting in here going, you know why you're going this way? Because you've tried it. You've seen God do it in your life. You've seen that faith increase. As you've stayed in the Word of God, you've read it, hey, and you put it to work. You didn't just read it, but you read it, you trusted it, and you put it to work, all right? You exercised a little bit of that faith. Way back there, I got saved by faith, trusted God, believe what He said. I believe the Bible. I was just a kid, too dumb not to believe it, all right? I just believe the Word of God. I believe God meant what He said, and He said He had saved me. I came to Him. I called on Him. He saved me. Now, through life, I've learned that, you know what? I can trust Him for more than just going to heaven when I die. That faith has developed over the years, all right? That faith developed. We're talking about faith promise in the mission conference coming up. I found that I can trust God to take care of me. I can give to Him. He'll give back. He said He would. You know what? I found out those verses are true. I found out Malachi 3:10. I can believe that. I can believe that just as much as I can believe John 3:16. God will take care of it, all right? I mean, He'll see you through. He can get you through. Why? Learn to trust Him. Learn to put my faith in Him. I got a little bit. I exercised that little bit, developed that. It increased and I began to keep in the Word of God. I found that the more I depend, that I depend more and more on what the Bible tells me, my faith increases. My faith increases. Yours will too. Stay in the book, all right? Just keep reading it, keep believing it, heed it, keep on going with it, all right? Don't let up. Don't let up. You with me? Just stay with the Word of God. It will do something for you. The Word of God, it works in you. It'll bring faith. It'll bring faith. I don't have much faith, preacher. We haven't been in the Bible much, have you? You haven't been paying much attention when the preaching's going on. You haven't been listening in the Sunday school class. You haven't been taking it in. If you do that, it'll increase your faith. You can trust Him. Hey, the folks that said, preacher, I can't afford to tithe. You know what they got? They got a problem. They don't trust God to take care of them. They don't trust God to do what God said He'd do. Don't trust Him. Look, if you learn to trust Him, you'll be amazed at what He'll do, all right? If you just learn to stay in the book, do what the Bible said, it'll increase your faith. It'll increase your faith. That's what the Word of God will do for you. Back to Psalms 119. He said, why didn't you go in order? Because we need to exercise, all right? Staying in the Bible, all right? Psalms 119, back to Psalms 119. There's something else the Word of God will do for you, okay? Something else it will do for you as it works in you. And this is something every one of us appreciate. Psalm 119, would you look at verse 84. Psalm 119. Just go to verse 114. Psalms 119, verse 119, all right? 114. Said, man, you're confusing me. Me too, all right? Notice what the Bible says. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in Thy Word. In Thy Word. Look in verse 147. Look in verse 147. Notice what that verse says. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in Thy Word. In Thy Word. Boy, I hope in Thy Word. Such simple words. I hope in Thy Word. We sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweet refrain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. We sang that just a little earlier tonight, okay? What are we hoping in? What are we hoping in? Now you say, I hope in Thy Word. Simple words, but what meaning, importance there is when it comes to that matter of hope. Hey, listen, when you get to the point when you're without hope, you're in a mess. You're in a dangerous, dangerous place. But you never need to get in that place, okay? That place. You know, I look at the world, what's going on around us. I, too, am dismayed by what I see, just like you are. You look at what's happening and you go, man, I can't believe it. You said, preacher, it's discouraging. Yeah. You said, well, where do you get hope? Hey, I'll tell you, my hope is in this book and the God of this book. That's where my hope is. Look, if your hope is in an individual to be elected to whatever office, and you figure that's going to make it all better, don't count on it. Don't count on it. Now, I'm going to vote. Yeah, sure I am. But my hope is in this book. My hope is in this book. You just think about it a little bit. This is the only place you got hope of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Is there anybody here be brazen enough to raise your hand and say, I've never needed forgiveness? Could I just get both of mine in my pockets, okay? Man, I've needed forgiveness, all right? I've needed forgiveness. If you've ever worked a job, you needed forgiveness. Because at some point in time, you messed up. You messed up. You did the wrong thing. You needed forgiveness, all right? But I tell you, we humans are all imperfect beings. All of us. We have a tendency to mess up. Most of us will admit to being a sinner. Now, everybody is, but most will admit to it. And I say this to you, the only hope for forgiveness for that sin is given to us in the Bible. In the Bible. Jeremiah 31:34, the Lord said, I will forgive their iniquity. That's God's promise. I will forgive their iniquity. You still have your Bible open there in Psalms. Go to the 86th Psalm, would you? The Psalm, 86th Psalm. Psalm 86, drop down to verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good. And everybody says, amen, he's a good God. But boy, would you look at that next phrase. And ready to forgive. Ready to forgive. How many of us are ready to forgive? Well, not until there's some begging going on. Hey, listen to me. God's ready to forgive. God's ready to forgive. The only hope we've got of forgiveness is in Him. He's ready to forgive. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says He's faithful to forgive us. He's not only ready, He's faithful. Now, you stay with me just a second. As humans, we offend another human. Then what do we try to do? You say, well, I apologize and I ask you for forgiveness. But if you've really offended somebody, you try to go past that. You say, I'm going to make it up to you. Right? I'm going to make it up to you. I'll do it. If you'll forgive me, I promise you, I'll make it up to you. I know I've hurt your feelings, I've offended you, whatever. I'll make it up to you. You ever thought about trying to do that with God? How are you going to make it up to Him? Not a way in the world. We can't make it up to Him. But thank God, there's hope for forgiveness. He said, I will forgive their iniquity. He said, I'm ready to forgive. I'm ready to forgive. And we're told in His Word, He's faithful to forgive. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. Our hope, the Word of God gives us hope for forgiveness. Hey, it gives us hope not only for that, it gives us hope for the future. every one of us, we'd say, man, there's a better day of coming. There is a better day of coming. Sin, sinners, and Satan may be having their day today, and right now they're having their day, and everything seems to be going in that direction, but I just want to tell you, there's a better day of coming. Better day of coming. We don't get excited about the rulers. Rulers, too strong a word, maybe. We don't get excited about the ones who govern us. We get disappointed by them a lot, okay? Disappointed by them a lot. It's illegal. It is illegal for me to stand in the pulpit and endorse a candidate. I've never known one that I would have been brave enough to endorse. Never would have done it. Why? You say, preacher, why? Well, because, now there's some I might recommend to you. I think that'd be the one to vote for, but I'm not going to endorse one. You say, why not? Because I've seen too many go to Washington after standing wherever around the country, promising I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do that, go to Washington, do the opposite thing. Do the opposite thing. Man, how bad that would be if I stood here and endorsed that one and you come back to me and say, hey, preacher, you endorsed that rascal, didn't you? Didn't you tell us, well, you can vote for him, you can feel safe about your vote with him? You're never going to hear me endorse a candidate. You said, because it's illegal. No, because I don't trust them. They're human. But I'm going to tell you this, I know for a fact there's a better day coming. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 1 says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. A king shall reign in righteousness. There is no doubt that that king is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you talk about hope? Oh, yeah. Hope. Man, there's hope for a better day. There's hope for a better day. I've stood at the graveside. Boy, I don't know. I'd have to sit down and count up, and I know I'd lose count, but I don't know how many times I've stood at the graveside, conducted a funeral. And then I've stood at the graveside many, many times when somebody else conducted the funeral. But it's always been a wonderful comfort when I had hope from the Word of God. From the Word of God. I can go out to Mount Olivet Cemetery here in Fort Worth, over there in the Riverside section of town. And I can go out there and you can find these two headstones. One says M.M. Mosley and one says Marie Mosley. But my mom and daddy ain't there. My mom and dad are not there. But I've got great hope, man, beyond just a possible maybe so, but I got great hope one of these days going to see him again. Want to see dad, he won't look so frail. Won't look so frail. Want to see mom, I won't have to talk her out of not giving her money to some scammer. Thank God. Thank God for that. Hey, man, I'm looking forward to that. A great hope. Great hope. And I could go on and on. It's not just mom and dad, but it's multitudes of people that I've known and had the privilege of being around, going to get to see them again. Why? Boy, I've got hope. Where's it come from? The Word of God. The Word of God. Hope for the future. Hey, but can I just say this? Can bring it right here, right where we live. There's hope for tomorrow from the Word of God. You say, having a tough day, preacher. Having a tough day. And I just tell you, the sun is coming up tomorrow. Regardless of how bad it seems today, there is hope for tomorrow. You don't have to roll up the surrender flag. There's hope for tomorrow. Take your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, most time people get excited about this chapter. When I was a kid in school and they still read the Bible over the loudspeaker, 1 Corinthians 13 and Ecclesiastes 3 were the most popular ones to be read in the public school where I was. Now, I don't know about you, but those were the ones that read. But they usually give off a reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about verse 7 or verse 8. But I want you to look at verse 12. The Bible says, for now, we see through a glass darkly. We see through a glass darkly. There's things we don't understand. We don't understand. We as Christians, we as believers, we experience things. We don't understand those things. And when we think, boy, why? Why? Just want to remind you, now we see through a glass darkly. You may be having a tough time. You may be having a tough day. You may be having a difficult period in your life, okay? Can I just tell you something? There's hope for tomorrow. There's hope for tomorrow. You say, preacher, why can you be so confident about that? How do you know there's hope for tomorrow? Well, because of what Hebrews chapter 13 says, all right? Hebrews chapter 13. Remember, I said it's this book that you'll find hope, all right? This is a book that'll give you hope. So what's the Word of God going to do for me? Well, it'll give you hope. It'll give you hope. I don't care how bad it looks and how difficult it seems. Sun is coming up tomorrow, all right? And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 is in your Bible. And it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. We have a hard time with that. But for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh my, what a blessing. What a blessing. It's the Word of God gives us hope. You know why I don't mind getting up tomorrow? Because of the Word of God. The Word of God. In the morning, I'll get up. I'll get me something to eat. I'll head out over to Arlington, and I'll sit down with some guys in my homiletics class, and they're going to take a final tomorrow for this last semester. They're going to take a test, all right? And we had four guys when it started, semester started, finishing with two of them. Managed to get rid of half the class, all right? They went their way, whatever, different reasons, different things. And I didn't have to throw any of them out, but things happened. And so I left that with those two guys, and there they are. And I don't know how they're going to do on the test, okay? These two guys, pretty sharp fellows, I think they'll do pretty good. But you know what? Even if they fail the test, there's still hope. There's still hope. It's not the end of the world, okay? It is not the end of the world. You may be struggling right now. It's not the end of the world. Whatever's causing you to struggle, I just want to remind you, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And can I say this to you? No matter what's going on, he's still in control. Brother Tommy Stone, I don't know how many of you remember him or how many of you ever heard him. He was an evangelist among Baptist people. And he sang. He courted the piano and he sang. And he played the saw, all right? You know, he could play a saw. But he sang a song, and part of the words of the song was this: don't let nothing get a hold of me today, Lord, that you and me together can't handle. Hey, boy, I'll tell you, I like that. Said, I know that I'm weak. I know that you're strong. I know that you're right, and a lot of times I'm wrong. But, Lord, just don't let nothing get a hold of me today, Lord, that you and me together can't handle. And I tell you what, nothing will. Nothing will if you'll keep trusting him. Remember what I said about this book, it'll give you faith. You stay in the book because it'll give you faith. Preacher, I'm climbing a mountain. I am facing a difficulty like nobody. I just want to tell you something. There's still hope for tomorrow. There's still hope for tomorrow. You can count on it. You can count on it. You just hang in there, all right? There's hope for tomorrow. You say, well, it looks bad. It's going to be okay. God's still in control. God's still in control. Whatever happens in your life. Now, if you don't just keep mucking it up by your own sin, all right? And don't get mad at God if things get worse and worse because you're living an ungodly life. I tell you, if you're doing right and trying to serve the Lord, you stay with it. I'm not telling you everything will go smooth. I'm not telling you it'll be a bed of roses. No, sir. Don't believe that. I don't believe if you get saved and serve God that you'll never have any problems. Don't believe that at all. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. Sometimes some clouds come into your life. Sometimes you go through some valleys, not because of your sin. But sometimes God allows some things to come along to test you and to strengthen you. You say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what to do. You get in the Bible, he'll give you more faith. You get in the Bible, it'll build you up so you can pass the test, okay? You get in that book, and you read it, you study it, it'll help you to grow, to conquer the problems that come up, and it will build you and give you strength. It'll give you hope like nothing else will give you hope. You just stay in the book, all right? Stay in there. Now, once again, I say to you in closing, that's not all that the Word of God will do for you. Today, I've preached to you 9 things the Word of God will do for you. That's not everything, but it's a good start. I just ask you, what do you need for your own good today? What is it you need? Hey, are you missing hope? Are you missing strength? Are you missing faith? Are you lacking in growth as a child of God? Don't have to be. You don't have to be. We've got His Word. We've got His Word. We can heed it. We can believe it, we can hear it and believe it, we can read it and heed it. Hey, oh, what a change it'll make in you. Just get in that book. Get in that book. Would you stand with every head bowed? Heavenly Father,